Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Hey, buddy.
We are still on this.
We are still on this.
Okay, so I know you don't read comic books. I don't know why I'm going to say that. You read like a comic book a year.
I mean, that's a step up from before, so it's starting, so, yeah.
There's this thing in comics and in other mediums where like, there'll be the storyline going on, and then, like, somebody will come in for, like, four panels, and be like, well, gotta go off to my important thing, and then, like, watch an important thing by buying this comic book over here.
Right.
It's just that kind of marketing grab. And I feel like we're doing this.
Yeah.
Because this is an argument, like, we now have to respond to something.
Yeah.
That was an article, that was to something else. So I'm going to make a response.
Okay.
And this is my response.
Okay.
To Q's response.
Okay.
To your response.
Okay.
To people's response. To your response. To the WWE.
Yes.
And the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Follow that train.
We're about as elaborate. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Here's the thing. And so, This has been going on for a couple weeks now.
Yeah, since the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and
it all started with my first rager back from taking 4 or 5 months off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of like further went in depth the podcast that week.
Yeah.
Last week, I centered my argument more towards the fans.
Mm-hmm.
They're wanting to cancel the network.
Now, we have been pretty much
more so on the podcast.
We have been pretty much in disagreement solidly about this
throughout
the whole time. Like we'll find snippets of common ground, but we're pretty much against this.
Right.
So
I mean, we can all agree that the Royal Rumble was royally screwed over and the wrong guy won.
We all sit here doing that. But here's the thing. So Q, who is on our podcast, our sister podcast,
Trash Your Attire. Our employees, let's go ahead and just remind everyone of that.
He wrote an article condemning Chris. Condemning's a hard word.
It is a bit harsh.
Criticizing Chris?
Sure, let's go with that. Criticizing, yes.
Okay, alright.
Which is fine.
That's which is
fair.
Prerogative.
I'm okay with criticism.
Yes. And here's the thing. I'm reading the whole thing and being like, yep, check mark. Good for me. Go, Joel. He'll say Joel's doing really good at his job any minute now.
Nope.
Not a mention of me.
No.
Just saying.
It was just the burial of Chris.
but here's the thing. So I got to the end, enjoying all these things that I'm agreeing with. And we get to this point and I just go, you did not see me put my head in my hands there. I put my head in my hands.
He full on face palmed.
Because now I have to defend Chris.
Hey guys.
And you know I don't care for this.
No, you don't.
But here we go.
And go so, on. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
And so I have here his article. And I'm gonna quote this article specifically. He says, at the end of his article, he says, we can debate about booking, we can debate about how the company is run, we can debate about who is the better wrestler and who is relevant or not. We can debate about who should be pushed and why, but you cannot, and I mean cannot, in all caps, criticize the crowd for the reactions and how they respond to a product outside of outright violence, without looking like a bad word, with no credibility in your argument. Yes.
With no credibility.
With no credibility.
Okay. Okay, yes, you respond, yes.
Okay, so I can criticize, and here's the thing. Starting with a very easiest, very obvious example, if you, at any point in your time being a WWE fan, watching the current WWE product, see something and go, I should chant Chris Benoit right now. That is the response that is merited right now. No. That is an unacceptable and incorrect response.
Yes.
And I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
It's just, it is. There are acceptable ways to respond. There are unacceptable ways to respond. And as everything, there is a lot of gray in between there.
Mm-hmm.
And what is an acceptable response to an unacceptable response varies.
Yeah.
And we can disagree. That is something that, as the thing is, we can disagree on that. And we can debate what is an acceptable response. The Husky Harris is a fantastic example. The Husky Harris chance.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. And this is coming from a guy who liked Husky Harris better than Bray Wyatt for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I you know, I wanted it, but those Husky Harris chants, didn't mean, we want this guy back. They meant, haha, we see through this. This is not,
right.
We, you know, it's not. And it was just kind of being awful to a guy who was trying really hard.
Yeah.
To get over a difficult gimmick.
Yeah.
That paid off and, you know, and good for him. But it was an unnecessary hurdle that the audience put there just to put it there.
And let's not just tiptoe around it, okay? We all know that our listeners, every single one of you, have rolled your eyes and or criticized the people who are still chanting Goldberg at Ryback.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's lost a lot of matches. Way more than I'm sure that Goldberg has ever lost in his career.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, and sure, their moveset might be similar. Fine. Yes. Whatever. But what's the point of them chanting Goldberg? It's like, oh, you're on a winning streak and you were just like him, except, you know, we're looking through yours and yours is just obviously a push, but we like Goldberg because nostalgia.
And that's the thing is no, we can and we do and we should criticize when yes. we disagree. And this goes for you too as somebody who writes an article. You should
yes.
criticize and disagree. It is not a safe thing. It is not a thing to hide by, well, that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
That's just your opinion. Chris's opinion is still wrong to me, but the fact that he has it and it's problematic. And here's what it really comes down to at okay. the end of the day.
Okay.
At the very beginning of dating Heather, at some point, she said, hey, do you want to do something on a Monday? And I had to be like, no, because I do this on Mondays.
Right.
And she gave me a look. And that look is not my fault. That look is every other wrestling fan's fault.
Fair enough.
And I had to go through that. And someday Chris will have to go through that.
I have gone through it before.
Yes.
It's just those relationships were terrible and had nothing to do with wrestling. But yes.
And for the most part, a lot of people go through that, and yeah. that is because of how
other wrestling fans
handle themselves, handle situations.
And how they are perceived by the, whether correctly or incorrectly, yes. by the rest of society.
Yes. And so, no, we should, you know, I hold myself to a standard as a yeah. fan. I hold other people to a standard as a fan. I mean, just going to a show, there is a way to handle yourself. Another example. Let go back and watch the final moments of WrestleMania 30, the greatest event of last year.
Yep.
Arguably the greatest WrestleMania of all time.
Yep.
Just all around a perfect show.
Yep.
As perfect as you're ever going to get out of the WWE.
Yep.
And we get a final shot of Daniel Bryan. We're going to zoom in. We're going to have him holding the titles that we have fought for him this whole time.
Yeah.
Go us, hooray. And we get a sign.
In the
blocking the entirety of Daniel Bryan because that guy wanted his name on the WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So no, there are unacceptable ways to act as a fan.
Yes.
There are unacceptable ways to show your pleasure or your displeasure mm-hmm. of the product.
Yes.
Again, I think if you want to cancel the network.
Yeah.
I think you should do it, because yeah. again, I don't want to do it, and I want somebody to do it.
Right. Whereas I stand by my opinion and my criticism of just thinking it's dumb. You know? Not, like, there's not, like, a whole big reason behind it. I just think it's dumb. You know? Like, that's me.
I mean, you think it's dumb, because you look at it and go, I won't do that.
Right. And that's part of it, sure.
And I look at it and go, I'm not gonna do that, but I like your yeah. moxie.
Right.
I mean, again, it's...
That, and I also see the whole, like, you guys obviously, like, the people that were canceling were also obviously big fans of WWE at some point, and by and large, they're, I would say at least 85% of them are going to come back before WrestleMania.
Part of it...
So it's just them, wanting to make a statement, which is fine, and mm-hmm. if you really feel like that's the way to do it, then do it. It's either that, or some sort of mixture of just wanting to be seen. That part is what gets on my nerves.
Here's
and that's just, again, that's just me being a cranky old man. That's fine.
But here's the thing is, as wrestling fans, we like to get mad a lot. We yeah. like to get upset a lot.
Oh, I know.
And part, and part of that is, there is so much wrestling product, especially from the WWE. The WWE puts out 3-hour Raws, 2-hour SmackDowns, 1 hour of NXT, 1 hour of Main Event.
Yeah.
Saturday Morning Slam still a thing?
No.
Okay. But still, that's, you know, going on 10 hours of Raw, of wrestling,
yeah,
every week. Like, so it, you know, by law of averages, that puts out a lot of really crappy wrestling.
Right.
That,
so it's not all going to be golden.
But we get to feel, and a lot of us relish in feeling really indignant about that.
Yeah.
And we've, the luster has kind of gone out of, that's it, I'm mad, I've taken all I can, and yeah, I won't take no more.
Yeah.
You know, it just, it has. And there have been times, I'm not innocent of this either, there have been times where I'm like, I am done, and
yeah,
the Royal Rumble 2013.
Yeah.
Let's go back a couple of Royal Rumbles, I was done and livid and like foaming and like, this is why the company will not last another 5 years, and right, here is the blatant anger and da 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 da. And I, you know, and then I was like, and I'm gonna watch next week out of anger.
Right.
And so that's the thing, it's just, it's, so there is something to be said about, you know, when you have a movement like the hashtag cancel the WWE Network, which I, you know, I've got to feel was successful on some level because it was trending for 4 days or whatever they said. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they mentioned it on Raw.
Yeah.
Like, that's a win, you guys. You did good.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But that's the thing is, like, they do that. If they don't see a genuine hit in numbers, they can't. You can only say you're mad so many times.
Right.
So I will agree with you. Like, I never tweeted hashtag cancel the WWE Network, because I'm not gonna cancel the, right, like, so that's the kind of thing. If I feel like if you are gonna do it, do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and if you are, if you wouldn't be listening to this because you don't deal with wrestling anymore, but if that was your final straw.
No, they still do. No, they still deal with wrestling. They just did something incredibly dumb. But they still deal with wrestling and they'll be back.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, that's the thing is odds are people will come back, and I would too. It's like, I am weak and right, I want my wrestling fix, and NXT's still a thing.
Right.
So, but no, I have to solidly, the whole point is I have to solidly come down in disagreement of no, this is the fan is, you have a certain level of responsibility of how you react to things. There's acceptable and unacceptable ways. And whether what happened after the Rumble is acceptable, that's debatable.
Right.
But the point is, that is debatable.
Yeah.
And that is something worthy of debate.
Yes.
So.
And here, my thing is, and thank you for that, Joel. That was very much how I felt when in a much more eloquent way. Thank you.
Okay.
If I'm an a-hole that has zero credibility in argument, fine. That's fine. You know? It's one of those things where, like, I never consider myself someone who has much credibility in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, I am not all these reputable dirt sheet guys who do all these news and stuff that end up being wrong anyway, so they're not that credible either. But, like, I'm just a guy who has a opinion column for the past 4 years on Inside Pulse. I'm just a guy who has an opinion podcast.
Yeah.
That we do every week. You know, like, I have no credible authority about this, about anything within wrestling. It's just, I'm a fan, I like to speak my opinion about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I feel like we can, yes, criticize WWE, TNA, the wrestlers, all aspects of it, including the fans.
Yes.
Because I can, like, it's my right. Like, I don't want to be like, it's my right, it's my privilege, and I will do so with honor. Like, you know, like, just like, you know, Jonah had the ability and right to criticize me for what I've said, that's fine.
Yeah.
But in that same vein, I do have the ability to criticize the fans. And I do still think that was her just being dumb because they just want to be seen rather than, you know, I'm sorry, I'm still going to call them spoiled children. You know, and that's my opinion. That's just me.
The thing is, there are some people, you're right, there are some people who leapt on the bandwagon.
Right.
Hashtagged away.
And just then, to be seen, yeah.
Yeah.
And there are some people who did it legitimately. Guys, it's wrestling. You know, it's pro wrestling. Arguing, or sending out angry tweets on wrestling using a hashtag isn't a freaking movement. I'm sorry. Even the Yes Movement, I rolled my eyes at that last year. I remember. You know, and I was all for Daniel Bryan, and I was all for the push, and I was all for the WrestleMania thing with him last year, and I'm all for WrestleMania with Daniel Bryan this year.
However, see, here, part of it though, again, I'm starting to get against you again.
That's fine.
But part of it
just
is.
Just doing my job then.
Part of it is, I have definitely watched an entire 3-hour Raw by myself in a room without Twitter.
Yeah, no, it's hard. It is. It's very difficult because you're just like, I need something to read.
Yeah.
That I can kind of pay attention to this, but I can also, like, read about it, what other people are thinking. Yeah. No, it's hard to watch this without Twitter. I do that, like, whenever I have to watch Raw later. You know? I do it without Twitter, and it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
I'm here complaining about the Look at Me Society, and I get the hypocritical aspect of this, because A, I've got two Twitter accounts.
The thing is, we're gonna end this podcast with, plugging you can everything. Follow us.
I get that, and if that takes away all my credibility, then fine. You know, I understand that. I'm also not, you know, tweeting up a storm about, you know, the Yes Movement or cancel WWE, whatever, it's fine.
I think you just have you have a belief that it's a larger percentage than I do.
Of people who are just doing it to just be noticed.
Right, because I can't tell you it's 0%, and you can't tell me it's 100%.
Right.
But we both have a non-specific number between 100 and 0, and your number's probably higher than mine.
Precisely. I'm just so ready to not talk about this anymore. Like, just like, I'm starting to wish I never wrote those articles, just because we don't have to have these conversations.
But here's the thing. So I'm done with that now. Because again, I agreed with literally every, like, word for word, I agreed with what Jonah said until the final paragraph. Because I was like, yay! Nope.
Right.
But I did. I agreed with 90% of that. But here's the thing. So moving into this week's Raw.
Okay. Nice transition.
Well, Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns doing a thing, like it's so weird and so interesting to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And there have been reports that, and again, there have been reports and reports of heavy quotation marks, right? But there have been reports that they are staying the course, it's gonna be Roman and Brock, and they're just throwing Daniel Bryan to, you know, kind of appease and
also kind of help elevate Roman.
Yeah. And if that's true, God, that's an extra special level of stupid.
It is.
Because it results in Roman Reigns beating Daniel Bryan. Because
it makes me think that perhaps that was kind of their plan all along. Just now they're making it seem like they're kind of playing into, you know, into the public demand.
Yeah.
I had also heard reports that, I believe it was posted on Pulse too, that the word is now that Vince is okay with the idea of the triple threat. That's part of the reason why I was fine with playing devil's advocate, okay? Because, sure, it's Brock and Roman, and I don't like that. But, there is an element of, at least it's not the same thing from last year.
That's the thing, it's like
we got a triple threat last year, I don't want the same thing every year at WrestleMania.
I don't. That's the thing, I don't wanna, and I'm on the same page as Vince for once.
Right.
But like, I don't wanna have to be like, let me try this out, and have the whole audience be like, boo, nope, that's not Daniel Bryan.
Right.
And then we have to, like, between the Rumble and Mania, get Daniel Bryan back into that triple threat, so he can be the one holding the titles. And I don't think that'll happen. We're not risking that, but here's the thing, and I don't know why, and I've, like, puzzled over it, and I don't have a good, solid, coherent reason, but Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar is an amazing
That's the only outcome of this that I am completely 100%.
I'm very excited. That is an amazing, like, David Goliath kind of situation.
That's because presumably Daniel Bryan would win that match, and that sets him up as, like, the biggest giant slayer ever.
No, it absolutely does.
You know, especially after last year, and then you put this here on top of it.
Yeah.
You know? Now, if it's the triple threat, I have my reservations about a couple aspects of it, and if it's just Roman and Brock, I have a lot of reservations.
See, here's the thing. Roman and Brock, I still think will be fine. Yeah. The audience will be.
The audience is going to crap all over it.
Yeah.
And then probably go berserk for whatever match Daniel Bryan is. If we get Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus, as it's been proposed for like the last, it seems like 15 years, every year of WrestleMania season, it's like, Daniel Bryan's gonna be facing Sheamus, and for two of those years it was true.
Yeah.
But one wasn't on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was for 18 seconds.
No, I remember, I was there.
But it seems like every year after that, it's always rumored that Daniel Bryan would be going up against Sheamus.
Yeah.
What is their obsession with those two guys fighting each other?
I'm telling you, it's a dark show, it's an 18 second match, they're gonna get a 5 minute match, and we're like, at WrestleMania, you know, 37, we're gonna have an Iron Man 1 hour match, Daniel Bryan and Sheamus.
I like half of that statement. the other half of that statement just, grosses me out to no end.
You know what? Honestly, Sheamus is coming back, I'm back on the like, let's see what he can do.
He's going to do the exact same thing. I know. For the past 6 years.
I know. Sheamus desperately needs to be turned heel.
He desperately needs to be repackaged.
He does, but he needs to be
at least a heel.
He needs to be a heel. He needs to be the heel that Mark Henry was at the very beginning of send me someone to fight.
Yeah.
That's the kind of like angry, I think he can come out, I've been out too long, and he could almost kind of hit a tweener aspect of that.
Yeah.
I mean,
If he's good enough with it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, just, or you have him getting beat down and like Cena comes out to help him.
Yeah.
And they fight him off and then he's like, well, guess I'm going to fight Cena because he's the one left in this ring.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of like how I would like to see it. But we've moved away from this like Sheamus is driving me up the wall. So we will have a good 2, maybe 3 weeks and be like, all right, let's see what Sheamus has.
But yeah, they did that at the beginning of last year.
Oh, I know.
And really did nothing with him for the last year. And then he missed the last, I don't even know when the last time we saw Sheamus.
No, I don't, and again, I'm just.
All I just know is his handlebars were getting long and it was really disgusting looking. This is coming from a guy with a fairly large beard right now.
I know I'm asking for a hurting here because I'm gonna be like, listen to what Sheamus can do.
And it's just, you're always going to be optimistic about most guys.
I am, that's the thing, is like.
And it takes a lot for you to like, see a promo of, hey, this guy is debuting, or this guy is
coming back,
and you're like,
Well, that's the thing, is...
Whereas the rest of us, we instantly do that with a lot of people.
The coming back, everybody knows that that's... Like, everybody, fan and, you know, in the business, they know that, like, the coming back, the returning, that is the pop, that is the moment. You get more than one of those, but you get one per run. You get that come back and do something. And while the creative does not / rarely takes advantage of that.
Yeah.
Like the last exciting one, John Cena at the Rumble. Like the last really like, oh man, he comes back and he like, and the thing is like Edge debuted surprise return at the Rumble the year after, but it still didn't have the effect of John Cena's.
Yeah. Because that was back when John Cena was pretty over.
Mm-hmm. No, that's one of his best pops, is that.
But those were like surprise returns, so that gets a different pop.
Yeah.
You know, now a guy who's, they're advertising for a return, they're gonna get a pop, but just not, it just doesn't seem to really, you know, have that punch to it.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is like they come back and Sheamus will probably do the same old thing. They feel like it was working.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't working for me. It was clearly working for somebody, but, you know. But they're not going to mess with that. And that's a shame. But because he's been away for a while, I'm like, let's see what they do with it. And they'll do the same thing. And I know that, but I'm still going to be optimistic.
Right. So. Speaking of optimistic and positive feelings, NXT.
NXT was good.
NXT was good.
But of course it was gonna be good.
Well, yeah, I mean, aside from like a few botches here and there in like the lower card, I think the only one I can think of, was Baron Corbin versus Bull Dempsey. They did the whole like throwing one guy, or throwing Baron Corbin like threw himself at Bull and they were supposed to both go over the top rope and only one of them did. And
yeah.
Bull like kinda like made himself go over the top rope like mm-hmm. way too late.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If we had to find a weak link for the NXT, mm-hmm. that weak link's name is Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
This guy is awful. He's got a decent look. He's got an entrance, which is literally him, like, standing there and looking, you know, straight ahead.
Well.
But then he gets in the ring, and, like, we had seen him, like, in really short matches, whatever. And then we finally saw him in a longer match against, I believe it was Adrian Neville.
Yeah.
And he stunk up the place. Like, Adrian Neville did what he could. You know, so, yeah. And I don't blame Adrian Neville at all because the guy's about as near as perfect in the ring as it gets.
Yeah.
But then we saw the match against him and Bull Dempsey yesterday, and it was just, no.
Well, okay.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Honestly, here's the thing, is NXT, but we do nothing but praise it just about, and not just us two, like just in general. Yeah. Nothing but praise it, just piling accolades after accolades. And you kind of forget sometimes, like, this is still a training ground. This is still a school. This is still.
Yeah.
You know, and like,
I mean, granted, like, it seems like a lot of the guys that they're putting on the show have some sort of, like, element of being polished.
Right. I mean, this is obviously nobody's first day in the ring.
No.
But, Triple H had a press conference where somebody asked him about Hideo, and they're like, and he's like, you know what, it's, the light bulb's not gone off yet. The click hasn't happened yet. And he got some flack for that, but I was like, you know, like,
that's what he's there for.
Yeah, he's there for that. And I don't disagree with Triple H.
Yeah.
He's not saying he's unskilled. He's not saying he doesn't have what it takes. He's just saying, like, the exact click hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, he hasn't exactly found his groove in NXT yet. I feel like he's on his way there.
Exactly.
You know, he had a great match against Tyler Breeze.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's having great matches.
Yeah.
It's just, and I agree, there's something missing that guys like, Finn Balor, obviously Kevin Owens, that those guys got, like, almost instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone's gonna be like that. As much as we want Hideo Itami to instantly just take the ball and run, it just hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
But I'm not saying it won't.
I'm not saying it won't. I'm just saying that a guy from Japan is gonna have a few more hurdles than a guy from Canada.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's fine. You know, and like, and that's the thing is like, he's still heavily featured on the show.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't think anybody's giving up on him.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, that's the point of it is this training ground. And like, I'll look back and it was not that long ago, I was just not feeling it for Bayley or Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
Like both of them, I was like, no, this is, actually especially Sasha Banks, I remember specifically being like, no, this is not gonna work. This is the epitome of not working for
me.
And it's like, and now she's channeling. I'm like,
oh, she's coming around.
That's the thing.
Came around, like, yeah.
And part of it was the gimmick was instantly grating.
Yeah.
Swaft, who am I? Enzo.
Enzo Amore and, Big Cass, yeah.
Instantly grating.
Yeah.
Thing.
Hated them. Like, I really got into it, cause I knew, like, I hated myself for, like, not being on board with NXT right from the get-go. But it took me a while, and I didn't really get into it until they started doing that.
I saw the first episode of NXT.
Yeah.
And it was awful.
But it also had, like, Wade Barrett.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like,
it was a tryout show.
No, that's the thing, is like, and I saw the first episode of every quote-unquote season of NXT.
Right.
So, like, I gave NXT fair chances, and then we're like, it's good. I'm like, I don't believe you.
Like, no, Joel, it's different.
I don't know.
You mean like the season where they had all divas? No, Joel, more divas different than that. They're in Florida. It's like, what is it? Oh, great, it's a beach season?
Yeah. I mean, so that was really part of it was, like, there was a lot of, like...
And see, like, I didn't get into it until, you know, Enzo and Big Cass were, like, doing the whole, like, poodle thing. Or the hair match. That's what it was, the hair match.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, no. Mm. But then, like, this whole Blue Pants thing happened just because of Big Cass and Enzo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dear God, I don't know exactly what their ceiling is as far as wrestling, but as far as, like, on the mic and just being entertaining in that aspect in a funny way,
yeah,
there is no glass ceiling for those
guys. Well, that's the thing, is, like, they took this gimmick and what they, and here's one of the most promising things about NXT, just about how it's run,
mm-hmm.
is they took this gimmick and, like, week one, week two, this gimmick does not work.
No.
And it was not drop the gimmick, try again. It was make it
do
work.
Do what you can with it.
Tweak it, figure it out. And they didn't. And they kept, it's the exact same gimmick. They got a good handle on it.
Yeah.
They worked it well. They got the crowd right.
Right.
And they polished the gimmick.
Like, yeah, and clearly by the time that we started watching, the crowd had already gotten it.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was just us catching up.
Yeah.
You know, and finally seeing what most everyone else sees now. That being said, crowd reactions at NXT need to be taken with a grain of salt. Those guys, they pop for everything.
The Emma factor.
The Emma factor. There we go. That's like that. That was my concern with Bayley whenever I first saw her gimmick. Now I've seen her in a few matches. I'm less worried.
Yeah.
And again, but then again, Emma also was pretty good in the ring. You know, she's pretty great in the ring, I should say.
Yeah.
Because the match that her and Paige had at the very first takeover was great.
It was. Emma, the dancing thing doesn't work.
Yeah.
At Raw. But the problem was also the, let's stick this with Santino and.
And not give her any ring time, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's definitely the big, that's the one thing, like, they're training these divas incredibly well in NXT.
Yeah.
They're giving them a lot of the opportunity in NXT, and they move them up to Raw, where they get nothing.
By comparison. No, they don't. And that's the thing, is like, you know, I have no desire to see Charlotte called up. Charlotte's the most ready. Charlotte is...
No, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I feel like she's probably going to get called up here any day now.
Yeah.
Especially with the end result of from last night. But yeah, I'm like you. Like, I don't know if I really want... Like, she doesn't really have any storylines left in NXT. Like, she's pretty much conquered everything.
But
we don't want her to get lost in
the
shuffle.
But the thing is, she went up one night, had a 3.5-minute match, and lost to Natalya.
Because Raw.
Because Raw, and because Total Divas.
Right.
So that's the thing, is like, just watching, you know, NXT Rival, and been like, just watching talent ooze everywhere. I'm like, it's just not gonna happen at Raw. It's just not, and it's frustrating, but it's a byproduct of what they are, and it's like, I mean, it's unacceptable. You're not harnessing your talent the way that it
yeah.
could be harnessed, but they're not, and so I want to watch Charlotte at NXT.
Fair enough. But you know where she gets her big break?
Hmm.
At the second annual Vicky Guerrero, whatever, how many divas we can get in this match, Royal.
You think they'll have that?
Probably.
You think they'll call it the Vicky Guerrero?
Sure.
I mean...
They did last year, but then again, she was still in the company.
She actually created the Invitational.
You know, bring her back for one night and be like, hey, here's your invitation. Excuse me. The end. That's all I gotta do. Cause, you know, Vicky Guerrero's gonna make a few more appearances at some point in the next few years.
Yeah.
You know?
Fair enough. But anyway, you're talking about, the people who do have work, people who aren't good at.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's fine, like.
But that's the thing, is like, they're, you know, and again, like, I'll stand here and like, they're all gonna beat me up.
Yeah.
So, but you know, some people do have more work to do with others.
Yeah.
But watching NXT, watching, what's it, NXT Rival?
Yeah.
Watching TakeOver. None of the matches were filler matches. They just weren't.
Yeah, there were matches.
It's the difference between a lower card match and a filler match.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go ahead and say this. I'm not, anytime either Bull Dempsey or Baron Corbin comes on the screen on a regular NXT episode, I stop paying attention or I skip through.
Here's the thing. It's on a regular NXT episode. It's a filler match.
Right.
But when you put two, I mean, that's the thing, is you build it up. There were two quote unquote monsters.
Right.
You know, facing off each other. It's, even if it's an undercard match, it's not a filler match anymore because it's near unstoppable versus near unstoppable. What happens? And they have a very short match, because apparently that's all they can have right now is very short matches. They don't, neither one of them has given, been given the chance to go the distance. Whether they pass or fail. And obviously somebody saw something off tape in training. I was like, not gonna let you go the distance yet. Let's keep you in the short matches.
But they've had Baron Corbin in longer matches these past couple weeks, and they have been really good.
Well, but again,
this is where he,
that's what NXT is for.
Right.
And I feel like we forget that sometimes.
Right.
Just because it's so well put together.
Right. It seems like there's so much of it that is polished.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to the thing where, Triple H sent out a tweet today where, you know, someone asked him, I think, where does he want NXT to be in 5 years? And it's that same thing. He's like, he wants NXT to be almost like its own thing, just like an alternative. Like he said in the interview where he was, you know, he knows what the demographic is for the network, and it's mainly got, you know, males our age, so he'll kind of cater more towards that and have more like wrestling type stuff and more of what is proven that that demographic likes.
Yeah.
So, as honestly, it already is an alternative.
Yeah.
I think just by that aspect alone, and plus, if this was run by WWE, like the regular people, John Cena would be the longest reigning NXT champion already. And you know it's true.
Yeah. Speaking of though, how do you feel about Kevin Owens being?
It's a nice surprise.
Yeah, that was
like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, they're obviously going to have Sami Zayn hold the title for a long time, but this also does further the rivalry with Sami Zayn to carry over, and it's probably until the next special,
mm-hmm.
and then just kind of go from there.
But it's
a great way to instantly, because you could. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, these guys that we love on the independent circuits come into NXT, and, we're instantly excited, but at the same time, we're instantly scared that they're going to do absolutely nothing with them, mm-hmm. or they just don't believe in them as much as we believe in them. But seeing Kevin Steen instantly be the NXT champion, it makes me feel like they get it and they know what they want
to
do with him.
Well, here's the thing. Like, watching that match, it had to have been intentional. There was no way that they were not at least somewhat aware of parallels between the SummerSlam Cena and Lesnar match.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it felt very similar.
You just watch the bigger guy just demolish with, you know, slam after slam after slam after slam.
The only difference is this one didn't end in a pin.
No, it didn't end in a pin. And obviously, Sami Zayn got more offense.
Yeah.
Than Jimmy John Cena's ultimate jobber moment.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, like, so you have him standing tall, strong. A title change without a pin doesn't happen a lot.
No, it doesn't.
And I mean,
but then again, that creates intrigue moving forward.
Yeah. Well, that's,
you know, and this has got just enough of that where you want to dispute it a little bit, you know, and that
exactly
is what, you know, really solidifies this feud to move forward.
Mm-hmm. And so but now you have Sami Zayn with a rematch clause to begin with, but now it kind of was like with an extra rematch clause because the pin didn't happen.
With an extra motivational clause.
Yeah.
There you go.
Plus you do have Finn Balor as number one contender.
Right. Don't know how they're going to handle that.
I don't know, but I'm going to find out next Wednesday.
No, and I will absolutely tune out. And apparently there's, you know, been some guests showing up at NXT tapings. I don't know if it's going to be at the actual, like, on the actual shows, but apparently Brian Kendrick and Rhino
They were in the building.
They were in the building and, like, came out in the ring with theme music and everything and had a match.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Okay.
We do know Brian Kendrick had been trying out for NXT basically as a trainer, which I'm completely okay with.
Yeah.
I don't know why Rhino's there, and it's fine. It's whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. If it's really just more of a nostalgia thing, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Or if he's trying to do another trainer thing, then more the merrier.
Speaking of nostalgia.
Okay.
Like, I like these transitions we got going in this.
Sure. I like how we comment about every transition, too.
Monday, Sting was there, question mark.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people were saying that it was Dean Ambrose's, like, the guy who originally trained him.
Yeah.
Because he was there and took photos with Dean afterwards. Some people were saying it looked a lot like the same bone structure that Heath Slater has.
You know what?
I don't care.
Yeah, it's like, that's not a big deal. Honestly, you're clearly paying Sting per appearance.
Yeah.
That's pretty clever, all things considered, you know?
Yeah.
Sting doesn't talk already, is, you know, mysterious and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the thing is, you know what, I'm really fine with that. Unless they advertised Sting will be here for that poor crowd.
Yeah.
And they ended up getting Wigman.
Also, that wig had a lot more hair than Sting.
It did.
Yeah. It did?
It did.
It sure did.
I said it does, and then I realized it happened on Monday, which was in the past, halfway through the word. So I turned it into did.
It did as well.
However.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that video.
Yeah.
I think it was just impressive. It does a lot to capture Crow Sting for people who didn't watch WCW.
Right.
People who know that Sting is a big deal, but don't know anything else other than he's a big deal.
Right.
And so you kind of got a lot of character to kind of stick in there.
Right.
So, I think they did a good job with that. My understanding was that they were going to have a face-to-face at Fastlane. Are they going to have a match at Fastlane?
No, they're going to have a face-to-face.
Okay.
Guessing the Sting will talk? I don't know.
I don't know.
Or they're just going to stare at each other and have a silent promo. Because Vince sure does love those.
There's been one good silent promo.
Yeah, I know. I know. But that's not the only silent promo we've had in recent years.
One good one.
I'm assuming you're talking about Triple H and Taker.
Triple H and Taker. Okay. Returning on the same night. Yeah. That was great. I don't know, it's a lot of hype that just Sting's going to appear.
Yeah.
For a fireside chat. Hooray!
Well, yeah, but.
And that's the thing is like, so I totally, he should wrestle at WrestleMania. That's where this match should take place, clearly.
Yes.
But it feels like the fact that they're doing, you know, that at Fastlane is just like, alright, that's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Why not? Yeah.
Sure. All right. I'm trying to think. Anything else happened on Raw? Big deal? Big worthiness?
Not really.
I mean,
they just kind of furthered everything along.
Yeah, everything's further along. We're in the weird, it's not pre-elimination chamber anymore, but it's...
We're on the slow lane to fast lane. You know you love it. Yeah!
God, that hurts.
I know what the title of this episode's gonna be!
Yes, it is. Shut up.
Oh, God. Does it mean I get, like, a little bit more of my paycheck this week?
No.
Does this mean I can get a paycheck
this week? Actually, I really like that.
Thank you.
But, like, yeah, it's the kind of thing where, like, we know it's the road to WrestleMania and we're all waiting and excited. We just kind of have to wait for this stupid extra thing to happen so we can, like, really focus on what's coming up. Excitement. Hooray.
Right.
So more on that next. Next week we will get to...
The actual, like, Fastlane
preview. Yeah, yeah. We'll get to actually predict
stuff.
So,
hooray!
One more thing that happened. Can I just say, like, every time... Miz is pretty much going to be like, oh, that guy who never quite got out of the mid-card, except for that one weird footnote when he was champion for a while. Every time I'm kind of like resolved to that, he just comes out and is like, yeah, perfect heel.
Yeah.
Like just, and it doesn't hurt that he's healing it up against Mizdow, who's like insanely over right now.
Yeah.
But Miz, they are wasting Miz's ability to draw heat.
Yeah.
Like, he is probably second to Russo in the company.
Rusev?
Yes. Rusev.
Russo, okay.
I have not, like, I've said maybe 30% of the words correct tonight.
Yes, you have.
Do not know why. I have such marble mouth.
So, do you think we're done with, like, the Royal Rumble talk and the,
I'm done with it.
And the canceled WWE Network.
I'm done with it. Because...
Okay, good. Because that gives us room to talk about, like, what's really important. And that clearly is Seth Rollins' wiener.
I forgot you were gonna do that.
Yay! Planned segments! I mean, I honestly don't really want to talk about it, really. It shouldn't matter.
I don't care.
It shouldn't matter. He did something that he shouldn't have done, and his ex-fiance did something that she absolutely shouldn't have done either.
Yeah.
It's just two people who did awful things to each other.
Yeah.
And that is why, for a variety of reasons, they are not together anymore. Yeah. I do kind of feel bad for the developmental NXT, wrestler that Seth apparently had a thing with that was revealed.
Yeah.
All these, it wasn't a hack because she had his password. That's just dumb on so many levels.
Yeah. Okay,
dumb on the level of if you're going to be unfaithful in any sort of way, at least be smart enough to like change your password or make sure she doesn't know your password. Not saying that he's, you know, validated in any way of doing what he did.
Yeah.
But that's just stupidity on top of stupidity.
Yeah.
But I do feel bad for her because I feel like if anyone gets any sort of punishment or she hasn't even been on NXT yet. She's literally developmental, yeah. You know? If anybody gets any sort of punishment or slap on the wrist or being let go or anything, it's clearly, she's more at risk than Seth is. You know, I don't really see anything happening to Seth, honestly. Maybe a slight D push, but he's still got that Money in the Bank.
He's got the Money in the Bank thing.
But they can just have him get squashed, but I would really hate to see that.
Honestly.
But I think WWE would hate to see that too.
I think the most that'll come out of this is a staff meeting.
Right.
That, where everybody has to sit down and listen to somebody go, you guys!
Stop sending pictures of your genitals.
Just, you guys, come on.
Right. Stop it.
I think that, and that's really all that should come out of this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know what, like,
Yeah, it was a violation of their relationship, and it was a violation of his privacy.
Yeah.
You know.
You wanna do what's making you happy?
Yeah, what's making you happy, Joel?
You gotta go first.
Okay, alright. Everyone, we're gonna play a little sound game. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? That is a birthday present that my lovely roommate Ed has given me, and I'm very thankful for it, and I'm very grateful for it, because he thought of me enough to buy me a birthday gift. You might remember us talking briefly about Ed, about how much of an idiot my roommate Ed is, and this solidifies that. Edward gave me a very nice, very sweet Star Wars shower curtain. Has, you know, Han Solo in carbonite. Very cool. The problem is, my apartment and my room, my bathroom, has a sliding shower door. No rod. Nothing that I can hang this bad boy on.
So.
And my room, you know, Ed's lived here for 2 years now.
So, Ed's real gift to you is the ability to point this out.
No, absolutely. That's what's making me happy. Mm-hmm. What's making me happy is I made fun of him on Facebook, I made fun of him in person, and now I'm making fun of him on a podcast for tens of people who don't know him, but now know more about why we call him such an idiot. In a lovable way, and I love the kid to death, blah blah blah, he's been my friend since I can remember, but still, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
That's what was making me happy this week.
Fair enough.
Wrestling related NXT, blah blah blah.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. Wrestling related NXT.
That's a no brainer. That Adrian Neville Finn Balor match. Like that, if you wanted to point at one thing that was perfect that night, was that match.
Honestly though, like obviously that match, obviously the main event, obviously the
Fatal 4-Way with
Fatal 4-Way. But also just like the Lucha match. Just out of nowhere seemed extra good.
Alright, fair enough. It was a botch. Where Kalisto was trying to jump over the rope and he kind of tripped a little bit. But I don't really hold him like, I'm not very judgmental about him because he does a lot of like, you know, high risk in the sense of something could go wrong and, you know,
yeah.
a foot could slip here.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the first time I've seen him, you know, mess up like that, so it's fine, whatever.
Something's making me apprehensive this week, and it's not wrestling related, but it probably, there's probably enough overlap to talk about it.
Okay.
For those who don't know, which should be almost none of you, there has been a deal struck that, between Sony and Marvel.
Yes.
With Spider-Man.
Yes.
Coming back to Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
I do have a question.
Everybody is very excited about this. There's nothing but oh boys and hoorays on.
Okay, sure.
On the internet.
From everyone?
Yeah, like universal hooray and praise and finally. And I really, I have to be the person to be like,
yeah, because I was about to say, I rolled my eyes at it.
Great idea! And so,
well, this is where it goes downhill.
You know it's not Andrew Garfield, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But here's the thing. The best thing that ever happened to Marvel is they sold off Spider-Man and they sold off Wolverine.
Yeah.
Because if you look at comics at all, they're all something with Spider-Man and Wolverine crammed in there, crammed on the cover, because those are the big things. So when Marvel started making their own movies, people would go to it and be like, Thor, I don't know, Thor's sure, let's see what happens with Thor.
But they'll watch it because,
well, that's the thing, it's
Marvel
like,
hasn't steered them wrong yet.
They'll go and see it and they're like, oh, Thor's amazing, I love it.
Right.
But everybody's like, ah, Spider-Man, I know that one and I know exactly how this movie will be. Let's go see that Spider-Man film.
Mm.
It was a Spider-Man film. So, Marvel has thrived, and Guardians of the Galaxy is the most definitive proof that Marvel has thrived on putting out things people don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I mean, even people who delve pretty heavily into the comics, there are nods and there are stories loosely followed,
mm-hmm.
but Marvel is doing what's best for the movies.
Yes.
And so this Spider-Man happening. So first of all, Spider-Man has been put up and immediately, at least announced Captain Marvel and Black Panther have both been pushed back.
Because of it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So already, like.
So they're already.
This was the, yeah, so.
The jetpacks so on Spider-Man.
Within the same press release.
Yeah.
Of Spider-Man's gonna appear in Marvel films is.
We're the, going to push back Western.
The lower stuff. Note is, yeah, everything is already taking a back seat to Spider-Man.
Okay.
I'm worried about it. And also, Sony still owns final creative say on Spider-Man.
Right. So, and here's the question I have. So the deal wasn't just so Spider-Man could be in Avengers movies. This is so Marvel could make standalone Spider-Man movies.
No. Sony is still gonna make the standalone Spider-Man movies.
So there's a chance we're still gonna get Andrew Garfield.
There's no Andrew Garfield.
Okay, good. I love Andrew Garfield. But Amazing Spider-Man was not working.
No.
Not at all.
No, it was not.
So, wait, so does this mean, like, there can be, like, two different Spider-Mans in two different, like, universes?
See,
or are they going to have that same guy go back and forth between
same,
Sony?
Same guy.
Okay.
Same guy.
Just
and,
for continuity's sake.
And Sony is now basically making Spider movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So Marvel's going to have some sort of say, right?
Marvel has input. Specifically, Kevin.
Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
Feige?
Feig? Oh, I went Fergie.
I believe it's Feige.
Kevin?
He was on the Nerdist podcast a few times, so I.
Yeah.
I just, it's like, I'm trying to remember, how did Chris Hardwick say it? Cause he tends to be right.
He's gonna have some creative input. Hopefully they will listen to him, cause he is, had a big hand in Marvel so far.
And he's been done a very good job so far.
And I worry that, and everybody is like, oh, Spider-Man's gotta appear in Civil War.
Right.
Civil War comes out, here's the thing, Civil War comes out just a little over a year from now. So.
Okay.
So Civil War has been written.
Yeah.
There has been a well-constructed, three-act structure script meticulously detailing what is going to happen in Civil War.
Yeah.
How it's going to affect the characters that we know, how it's going to affect the greater Marvel Universe leading into the Infinity War that has clearly been planned since at least 2012, and people have had ideas and thoughts about since like 2008. And so that script has been written, has been edited, it's all ready to go, and now somebody's gonna be like, nope, change it because of Spider-Man, stick that Spider-Man in there. And I'm very concerned about that, because that release date is not moving.
Right.
So, we're gonna get...
So could they possibly just, like, have him at the end of Civil War? like an after?
He might be at the end of Age of Ultron.
Of coming out this summer.
Coming out in a few months, yes.
So that means they gotta find themselves a Spider-Man quick.
Yes.
I'm assuming they have someone in mind.
The post-teaser credit for Age of Ultron could just be Spider-Man flipping through.
You're right.
Completely CGI.
Yeah, costume. Or just a guy in a costume. Yeah, fine.
I mean, that's easy enough, fair enough to do. I'm more concerned about Civil War and about shoehorning Spider-Man into Civil War. Because Spider-Man was a big integral part to Civil War. But they clearly had they had a solution for it because they were going forward with Civil War anyway.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Civil War in the comics is all about should superheroes have secret identities, basically.
Right.
Is secret identities kind of the way to go here?
Uh-huh.
In the comic, or in the movies, nobody has a secret identity yet. Iron Man had one for part of the first movie.
Yeah, and then he just revealed it.
Yep. Captain America, Steve Rogers, everybody knows that.
Everybody knows Captain Rogers.
Yeah. Thor is Thor. There's not even a pretend secret identity. I mean, no, nobody has...
Maybe Hulk, I guess.
Nobody has a secret identity.
Right. But, like, no one... Everyone in S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever knows, you know, Dr. Banner is, you know...
Yeah. So, I don't know. So that's what it is. Part of me is very excited. Spider-Man's my favorite, because Spider-Man's everybody's favorite, but Spider-Man's always been my favorite. I'm thrilled at the aspect of people who care that much about Spider-Man wanting Spider-Man back and getting Spider-Man back. Mm-hmm. But I'm very concerned
of this pushing back and kind of being inconveniencing what they already have in place.
Yes.
Fair enough. Yeah. Just two quick questions.
Okay.
Civil War, that's Avengers, right?
Civil War is a giant Marvel crossover. Okay. Happened in 2006.
But, are they going to trademark it as Avengers 3 or something like that?
No, Civil War is Captain America 3. Okay. Captain America 3 is covering the Civil War comic.
Okay. Thank you. I wanted that, because I was like, wait, because the way as big as you were talking about it being is like, well, that sounds like it would be, like, an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
But they're going to have one back-to-back? Like, yeah. Like, okay, but
there you
sounds go. Like Captain America 3 is going to be almost just as good, if not better, than Captain America 2, which is a very hard feat to do, because Captain America 2 was great. Second question, just real quick. Who would you like to be Spider-Man?
Who would I like to be Spider-Man?
There's only one answer, I'm sorry.
Is it Donald Glover?
It's absolutely Donald Glover.
They've mentioned that Spider-Man, they would like to have Spider-Man in high school.
Okay.
Which, if they would do that, honestly, I'm fine with that, because every other Avenger is a full-grown male adult.
If not hundreds of years old, God.
Well, you line them up, they are all well into their 30s or 40s.
Yeah.
And so I would like a 16-year-old guy being like, what up? Nice helicarrier.
Oh, God. If Spider-Man's first line are, what up, I'm going to blame you.
No, that...
Or if his first line is yellow.
Mm.
I'm still blaming you.
And he wears
kids.
He wears a rad jacket the whole time?
He wears such a rad jacket and he skateboards. Especially if it's Donald Glover. Because he likes the skateboard. So that didn't really sound like something that was making me happy. It just felt like you used Class of Ringstar as a platform to finally talk about this.
That is not untrue. But here's the thing. But on some level still, like, Spider-Man's back and they're gonna actually do Spider-Man. And this deal, like, I genuinely never thought that was gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know? And it's honestly, the hacks happened. The Sony hacks happened.
Yeah. And that was the big...
And that kind of really pushed it. So.
That pushed it. The all-female Ghostbusters pushed it.
So it's it.
There was a whole bunch of other stuff that like are, is now starting to happen. Like, wasn't one of them was the next whatever Jump Street was going to be a crossover?
23 Jump Street's crossing over with Men in Black. Make it happen. I'm excited.
That hasn't been confirmed. That was just talked about in the leak, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I'm okay with that, by the way.
Nah, I do that.
And let's do the mail sack.
Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's your mail
sack.
This comes back to wrestling.
Yes,
again.
Get back to wrestling. Okay, this comes from Jay. He said, first the comment, isn't it rather odd that two men fighting over the WrestleMania main event spot were both on the injured reserve for a lot of last year? It's not
Which
lost
is
on me.
Why Seth Rollins was my superstar of the year last year.
Very true.
He was just there. He kind of showed up and that won him the award. I mean, he did amazing. He was,
absolutely.
He was a workhorse the whole year long.
I still think it's obvious that it's Brock Lesnar, but just on accomplishment alone.
Yeah, I don't get you. You have to have more than 4 matches in a year.
Okay, fine. Brock Lesnar had 3. That's a very convenient cutoff.
Okay, Brock Lesnar had 4 matches.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
But one of them was against Big Show.
So it doesn't count.
Fair. I'm saying, you're saying that your superstar of the year had matches against Big Show 25% of the time. 25% of his matches were against Big Show.
Why do we have to disagree?
Superstar of the year.
We disagree on so much right now. Why add to one thing? We had already talked about it. It was just under the rug. We had moved on to 2015 gloriously with vigor. And now you're bringing this up again. Like, when we have all this other stuff that's piled on top of it. What are we going to talk about next? Is the internet wrestling community not a thing or is it a thing? We're all going to talk about the dumb freaking thing again. Let's do it. Fine. Whatever. Disagree about it.
I mean, I think it's technically a thing. I mean, as somebody who puts out a podcast, I feel like I have to be part of a wrestling community that's on the internet.
I'm a little lightheaded right now. So, what?
Is that the young Buster Keaton?
Yes, that's the young Buster Keaton. Go watch BoJack Horseman. You'll get the joke.
I think there's a second part.
And then a question for me, actually: would I rather see John Cena pull a Hulk Hogan from WrestleMania 9, have a second main event, bada bing, bada boom, lol, Cena wins in 32 seconds, or would you rather see Daniel Bryan tap out to Roman Reigns when he applies his version of the camel clutch? Jay, obviously knowing that I hate the camel clutch so very much, or whatever it's called now.
Is it the accolade right now?
Yes, accolade right now. Which would I rather see happen? I'm gonna go with the lol Cena wins because that would be a heel turn. That would absolutely be a heel turn at the end. Whether or not WWE wanted to be a heel turn, that would be a heel turn.
Yeah.
So yeah, then we could finally be like, it happened, hooray, I would get excited about that.
You can't.
And then watch WWE the next day. Completely try to ignore the fact that he just turned heel in our hearts and minds.
Yeah. You can't pull off that Hogan.
That's right. I would rather see John Cena win again and break Ric Flair's record at the same time. Because that's what that would happen.
Would that break it or would that tie it?
I don't know. But it would be significant. It would be one of those and turn heel at the same time. I would rather see that. Than see Daniel Bryan tap out to anything that Roman Reigns does.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan shouldn't be tapping out. He's a submission specialist.
No. Not at all.
So.
Not at all. No.
Yeah, no, that's the correct response.
Yay.
Alright.
I did something right! Hooray, you guys! Send down the balloons! Chris did something right! Yay!
Anything else?
I doed not.
You jerk butt. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, who live tweet Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
Sure do. And if you have any questions, comments, if you still have Chris hate, send that over to our email. I'll pretend to read it. That's classyringattire @gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easiest way to follow the podcast, best way to follow the podcast. You can subscribe there. You can give us a rating of
5 dodes.
Or you can write a review. That kind of stuff just really helps out the podcast with weird iTunes metrics things.
Yes. And if you're listening to us on, get ready for it, insidepulse.com/wrestling.
Good job.
Leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. And hey, who knows? Maybe someone else is going to write a criticizing column about us. Or about me, I should say.
Again, everybody loves Joel.
Somebody write one about Joel. Feeling self-conscious, you guys.
I'm just saying, they didn't make a TV show that ran for 4 years called Everybody Hates Joel.
Clearly,
topical humor.
Clearly, I was the subject of that show.
Topical humor.
Yes, it is.
We are also on Facebook. It's still just a fun way to connect, interact.
Just search Class Ring Attire on Facebook.
And like us there as well. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah!